I want to read this scripture first for a reason, just to set the tone of this morning and the message and what I want to speak on, what I feel like God is leading this morning. And so in Luke 14 and verse 15, Luke 14 and verse 15, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to read this. So as I'm reading, if you want to turn there, you can. If not, even if you turn there, go ahead and mark that in your Bible and do read over this afternoon and ponder over this, pray over this, let this sink in. Let God speak even more depth to you, because there is so much. The more I've read this, the more I've looked at this over the last couple of days, the more God has spoken. So I know that He'll do the same for you, but I want to read this, and it's the parable of the Great Supper, and it says, "Now when one of those who sat at the table with him," so it was, they're sitting around the table, and one of the people sitting around the table with Jesus, says, had heard these things, and something Jesus said before this in the previous chapter, he said, the guy talking to Jesus said, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, Jesus talking, said to the man in response to that, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to the man, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, 'Go quickly into the streets, to the lanes of the city, and bring here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited to taste my supper, none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" I read that wrong. Anyway, if you want to go ahead with that video, just watch this short video. I felt like this was really good.
"I'm too weak, too slow, too big, I ate too much for breakfast, got a headache, it's raining, my dog is sick, I can't right now, I'm not inspired,
makes me smell bad,
I'm allergic to stuff, I'm fat, I'm thin, it's too hot, I'm not right, I've got shin splints, headache, I'm distracted, I'm exerting myself too much, I'd love to really, but I can't, I just can't, my favorite show is on, I got a case of the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, I don't want to do this, I'm going to do something else, after New Year's, next week, I might make a mistake, I got homework, well, I feel bloated, I have gas, I got a hot date, my coach hates me, mom won't let me, I bruise easily. It's too dark. It's too cold. My blister hurts. This is dangerous. Sorry, I don't have a bike. I didn't get enough sleep. My tummy hurts. It's not in my jeans. I don't want to look all tired out. I need a better coach. I don't like getting tackled. I have a stomach ache. I'm not the athletic type. I want to get sweaty. I have better things to do. I don't want to slow you down. I have to do this? As soon as I get a promotion, I think I'll sit this one out. And my feet hurt.
Amen. We can all go home." You know, I think that very clearly makes a really good point in a very short amount of time. One man said, "I got oxen I need to go tend to." Another man said, "I got married a wife." One said, "I bought ground. I need to go tend to it. I need to do this. I need to do that." Now, basically, the premise here is Jesus says to the man who says, "Blessed is he who eats bread in the kingdom of God." So Jesus' response was a parable. There was a certain man. He gave a great supper. Now, in our day, when we invite a group of people over, it's still important. It's still a big deal. But not nearly as much as it was back then. I mean, like, back then, I don't know what to equate it to, but it would be like if somebody was graduating and you were a family member, a close family member, and you didn't, I got to work. Well, I just bought some land. I need to deal with that. Or, like the video. Tons of excuses. There's all kinds of reasons. And so he gave this big supper. It was a huge deal in their culture to do that. And all these people were invited. I mean, you're talking back then, you know, the killing the cows, the animals, all the preparation. I mean, you got to think, back then to them, a donkey was like BMW to us. A cow was like a yacht. I mean, that was like really expensive. They didn't have those things. That was equivalent. Wealthy men like Abraham had herds of animals, herds of goats and, you know, donkeys and pigs or whatever they had. Not pigs, but yeah, Arabian horses or whatever. You know what I'm saying, though? That was their wealth. They didn't have banks. They did have some gold, silver, shekels, all that kind of stuff, yes. But their main wealth was in also possessions, just like us. We have money, but we have homes and land. So when they take and they kill their animals and they prepare food and they take from their gardens or whatever they have and they put on this big thing, it's a very big deal when people come and they're invited and they start making excuses. So Jesus' response was, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who gave a great supper and he invited these people. And they all began to make excuses. Now, does that fit salvation? You're invited to be saved, to give your heart to Jesus, and to make a commitment to Him? Absolutely. Don't make an excuse. Don't make an excuse. You know, like the man in the video, my feet hurt at the end, and you look down, he ain't got any. You know what I'm saying? We're without excuse. I mean, excuses. I think Jesus was making a clear point. Excuses are something that we do. Okay, let me just give you, I was reading definitions in different dictionaries. Excuses are this: when we're doing something wrong, or we have done something wrong and we know it's wrong, or we want to do something wrong, and we try to minimize it by saying, well, it's not as bad. And so we give an excuse. We say, well, I was supposed to paint the house. I've been paid to paint the house. But, you know, I had to sleep in this morning. Or, that's not a good example. I had to mow my yard because it hadn't been mowed in a couple of weeks. Well, you've been paid for a job. You need to show up at that job, do that job first, and then. And so the excuse is usually given to try to give a reason to try to smooth over, minimize the reason that we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
My son's always, I don't believe in structure and religion.
Yeah. Well, there's a gazillion excuses. At the end of the day, the bottom line is this. Like the men in the story, they all had different excuses. They all began to give excuses not to attend the supper. That was a big deal to be invited. That was an honor. No wonder the master got upset. So Jesus was illustrating that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who gave an invitation and set up this great supper. It was a big deal. It was an honor. It was a huge thing. And then the people he invited began to make excuses. He was illustrating what it is like before God, with Him, in the kingdom, to give Him excuses. When we know what we're supposed to be doing as believers, it's not just salvation. It goes far beyond that. The kingdom of heaven is like. The question before that was, blessed is he who eats bread in the kingdom of God. Now, what do we do when we come to church? It's equated to bread. There's other scripture that talks about, you know, Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when we come into fellowship with one another, it says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about far more than that. So understand me clearly. But within the body of Christ, when we make a commitment to Jesus, we're making a commitment to a great supper. And in that great supper, when we make that commitment, there is a lot more than just not making an excuse to show up the first time. There's a lot more. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who gave a great supper. The kingdom of heaven is a lot more than just one meal. It's continual meals. It's continual going. It's in the consistency that change happens. It's in the consistency that victory. It's in the consistency that we overcome things. And so as a church, as a body of believers here right now, we have been called to make a difference in this city. We have been called to bring change to our city. We have been called to bring change to the reputation of our city for the glory of Jesus, for the glory of God. Not for our glory, for His glory. We've been called to a vision. Now, that doesn't happen like a slot machine where you pull a handle and 777, oh, we did it. It don't work that way. It don't work overnight. It doesn't happen in a week or two. It happens in consistency. And here's the thing. If we're the type of people individually to make excuses, if we struggle in that area and we do that, but guess what? There's no consistency in excuses. There's just excuses. We will live in the excuses we make. We already do. Those men made excuses. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. Well, they probably did go do that. But they're living. If they're doing the oxen, if they're tilling the ground, if they're marrying the wife, if they're doing whatever, even if they're not, they're living in excuses, not fulfilling what they were invited to do. For each one of us, God has a purpose, has a destiny, has a plan. He has a plan for us individually, but He also has a plan for us corporately to fulfill a dream, to fulfill a vision, to make a difference somewhere. You know, the Scripture says that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, when we get to heaven and we're standing around with Moses and Peter and John and Paul in eternity, I don't want to be sitting there with my mouth open and nothing to say. I don't want to not have a testimony. I don't want to be sitting. Do you know what it feels like to be in a group of people? We all do. And they all got something. Maybe they're talking about something, you know, maybe they're talking about fishing. Oh, I went on this trip one time. I went on that trip one time. And you're completely out of the conversation because, well, I caught, you know, a brim one time. It's this big. Because I've only went fishing two or three times because the rest of the time I gave excuses about going because I really didn't want to. Do you know, in the kingdom of heaven, I don't want that day to come to that place when they're sharing about crossing the Red Sea, when they're sharing about walking with Jesus, when they're sharing about, like the disciples, turning the world upside down, and we're living today in the fruits of what they did, when they're sharing those stories, and when they're talking about, like Peter, where the angel broke him out of jail supernaturally, when they're talking about the floating axe head, when they're talking about you know, the Mount Carmel, where, you know, he defeated the prophets of Baal. When these men who and women who have gone on before us are sharing these stories, I don't want to be standing there with nothing to say. I do not want to be sitting there with excuses. Beyond that, there's a deeper level of this. He says at the end, when he's illustrating the kingdom of heaven, that none of these men who were invited, basically who gave me excuses, are going to taste my supper. So go out and invite other people. Go out and get the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. So, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about there's something there deeper that we don't realize. You know how irritating it is that when you ask someone to help you that's a friend, or you invite someone. I know, let me get a good example. Our kids. I can use them because they're back there. Why didn't you clean your room? Well, I was busy playing my tablet. Why didn't you do this? Well, you know, when you have kids and you're a parent, you quickly realize how old that gets. How frustrating that can be when there's excuses given not to do what's right to do, right? We understand how that feels as a person. So, how do you think God feels when we're giving Him excuses? When we make a commitment to Him to love Jesus and to go for God and to fulfill our commitment, and we plug into what He's instituted in the sense of, you know, He set up the church and His body, and it's His bride that He loves dearly. And we plug into that, but every time something comes along to plug into, to do, even not when there's special things like outreach or special events, but just talking about just plugging in and finding a place, whether it's greeting at the door, whether it's cleaning the church, all of those things are important. They're a big deal. Because in those little things, faithfulness is proven. In those little things, excuses are worked out. We cannot make excuses. We can't have the mentality. We can't walk in that. And it's easy to make excuses. It's easy to do what we really want to do and then say to God, well, I had to do this. Or then say to others, well, you know, I really had to do this. And then not plug in, not find a place, not fulfill our calling, not make time for prayer, not make an opportunity or a place or take advantage of an invitation. Invitations are all day, every day. Whether it's reaching out and laying a hand on a shoulder and praying for somebody who's sick, whether it's sharing the gospel. I'm translating this into the kingdom of heaven. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who gave an invitation, a great supper, and then these people made all kinds of excuses. I don't know about you, but the majority, there's a lot of people, a lot of us, and myself included in the past, I've done this, who I know what's right, I know what I should do, and then I make an excuse not to do it. One thing that stands out in my mind, just real clear, was, and I've probably told this story here before, but some of you here haven't heard it. But when I was in Bible school, I knew I was supposed to go do the outreach. They had outreach every Friday, Saturday night to go out on the streets. And I knew I was supposed to go. And I had made a gazillion excuses. Everything from I don't have gas money to you know, I really don't want to do this because blah, 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 blah. I mean, you make up excuses easy. It usually is we know to do the right thing and we make something to make ourselves feel better or to make it sound better, and then we don't fulfill it. So in that, I was doing that, and I got all the way up to parking in the parking lot, and I was sitting there facing the building, and they were all in there praying and getting ready to go on the outreach. And I was sitting there, and I mean, I was like, I'm not called to do outreach. I'm not supposed to be doing this. What if I stumble? What if I don't say something right? What if somebody gets angry with me? What if somebody don't like me? Blah, 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 blah. Like the video. Excuses. I'm doing that in my truck, facing the building, looking at the door. And this lady comes walking out, this African-American lady, probably in her 50s, 60s, I don't know, comes out And I see her come out the door, and I'm sitting there holding the steering wheel, I'm at the little S10 truck that I have. And I'm sitting there, and I look, and she comes out the door, and my first thought was, I hope she don't see me. And I mean, I'm far enough away that, you know, that paranoia thing was, I knew what I was supposed to be doing, and I wasn't doing it. So it causes you to be paranoid and want to make excuses. So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking, and I'm like, ah, I hope she doesn't come over here. I hope she doesn't see me. I'm almost fixing to lay down. I'm serious. I'm in Bible school, okay? So I'm fixing it. I'm thinking, no, I'm just going to sit here. You know, I'm looking at her. Well, she starts walking my way. She keeps walking my way. She gets to my truck, or she gets like midway across the parking lot, and she's lays her eyes on me, and I know I'm done. My goose is cooked. She's on me. It's over. So I'm sitting there. She comes up. I roll down the window, and she says, "Sweetheart, aren't you supposed to be coming in?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I mean, what do you say? You know, there's, you don't give excuses in that moment. I mean, you can, but, you know, what's going to happen? It ain't going to be good. So I'm like, yes, I am. I'm supposed to come in. I said, I'm just not, I'm struggling, you know. And she said, well, sweetheart, just go ahead and take the keys out, put them in your pocket, lock your doors, come on in. So I went in. I never saw that lady again. Never. I was, maybe she was part of the school, maybe she wasn't, I don't know. I never saw her before or after that day. Now, I'm not saying she was an angel. I may just not have saw her because her school was large, whatever. But that was it. But angel or not, even if she was a person and I just didn't see her, she was an angel that day because she come and encouraged me to quit making excuses. She was an angel, simply means messenger, you know, God's messengers. And so she come, she did that, and we moved on from that. So, you know, we it's easy to make excuses and say, well, I don't want to fulfill what I'm called to do. I don't want to plug into the church. I don't want to make a commitment. I don't want to fulfill this spot of serving. I don't want to do that because I have this. I don't have enough gas money to be there every time. I have to work. That's a big one. Listen, let me make this clear. Some of us have jobs, I understand, where we have to work from time to time. That's different. We live in a culture, in a place where there's oil field stuff. I'm going to step in a big one here. I understand that there's requirements there for 7 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week. You don't say no if you want to keep your job. But here's the thing. We're invited into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether we're called to be a preacher or whether we're called to be a greeter at the door with a big smile and fulfill that, or whether we're called to clean the church, whatever it is we're supposed to do for Jesus, if we sell our lives to a company, you know what I'm saying? Then we're rejecting an invitation from Him and accepting an invitation from someone else. Now, if our job is just, oh, we miss every now and then, I understand that. So I'm not getting on that. That's not even in the same ballpark. And I can say that because I could work 7 days a week. In fact, most of the time I need to. Bills, like anybody else. We're not. This is far deeper an investment and a giving than it is a return. I mean, like, there's not even, you can imagine. So, let me be clear about something. I could easily, and I have struggled with it in the past, easily go work six, 7 days a week, continue doing that, and we could pay off our bills, get out of debt, retire early, whatever. Well, if that's what you want to do, if that's your goal, if that's what's important to you, then guess what? That's what we're going to do. But if what is important to us is Jesus, Do you hear me? If what is important to us is our commitment to Him, is in accepting, consistently accepting His invitation, in fulfilling that calling, then we will make a choice to say to our workplace or to opportunity or whatever it may be, hey, look, I can do that. I can do that 6 days a week, but Sunday, I got to be in church. Wednesday night, I got to be in church. Whatever. Sometimes it's not even that hard. He said it in the video. My show comes on tonight. I want you to understand something. I'm trying to expose excuses. We all make them, including myself. I'm not free from them here. I'm not standing up here not having done this, made the mistake, and all of that, and still continuing to work on it. I'm just trying to bring a message across that encourages that there's far more reward. It is worth it to make a commitment to Jesus and fulfill it. It is worth it to plug in with all of our heart and make a commitment and carry through with it. It is worth it to do the things that are necessary to answer the invitation to, in the kingdom of heaven, do what God has called us to do. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Here's the bottom line. Those who make excuses don't really want to do it. So the heart issue is deeper than just stop making excuses. We stop making excuses when we start wanting to do whatever it is we're making an excuse not to. In this illustration, the master gave a great supper and invited many. Then these people, they made excuses. Then he said, go out there in the highways and the hedges. Go get the poor, the maimed, the blind. Well, they're not going to say no. That's free food. They want it. And it's a big honor that they probably never get. They're not going to say no. They want to come. The other people didn't want to come. They wanted to go do something else. And in our culture, today, in this day and time, there are far more excuses. There are far more things that we would want to do than to make a commitment to Jesus. Not just coming to church, but prayer. Setting aside time every day to pray and to read the Word and to study and to grow, to be discipled. To plug into the things that you know what? I'm just going to be real with you. Nothing drives me crazier inside. I usually am good at not saying anything, but today I'm not going to be. Is when believers say, I'm not called to do that. We are professionals. That's an excuse. Just going to lay it on thick. That is an excuse. I've made that excuse myself in the past, and that's probably why it irritates me so much. You know, in the kingdom of heaven, going and doing outreach, inviting people to the church, inviting people to know Jesus, that's really what it's about, the bottom line. Being an example from Him, just putting our hands to the plow, so to speak, if you want to be like scriptural about it, putting your hands to the plow, is we don't get out there and push a plow nowadays. And Jesus isn't wanting us out there farming with a tractor. He's talking in an illustration just like this one about being involved in the kingdom of heaven. Well, how you get involved in the kingdom of heaven is you get together with other believers and you do something for Jesus. You serve meals to the needy. You show up to greet people at the door that are coming to church. You clean the church. You grow and you plug in and you learn and you study so that you could preach or share the gospel. You pray for people when you're out and about in your daily job, work, whatever, day to day. You come and you say, what can I do to help? You show up to put your hand to the plow in the kingdom. I think that this illustration, yeah, salvation, it fits. Some were invited, they say gave an excuse, and then others, you know, it went out and they got them. But I think it's far deeper than that. I think that this message, this parable, this illustration Jesus gave is far deeper than that. It's applicable to us as believers even deeper. Because we often make excuses. You know what? There is no way to fulfill the vision that God has given for this house and this place and this city to change a reputation, to make an impact, to do things that He's called us to do, to get three blocks here to have homeless ministry and church going on continually and prayer going on continually, and to make an impact that is real and like serious. There's no way to do it unless enough people that are called stop making excuses. Now, Jesus is good. He loves us. He's gracious. Like I said myself, I've made these excuses. I've done it. I can give you more examples, but I'm not going to. This is not. I can give you plenty more. Okay? But what I've realized is this. I don't want to be an excuse person anymore. Ever. When His voice is clear, and I know now in my heart when I feel tugged to do something, and it's hard because it puts me out there, makes me uncomfortable. Listen. The things that make you the most uncomfortable in the kingdom, like outreach, standing in front of people, maybe it's just giving announcements, maybe it's just making a commitment to be there every week. The things that make you the most uncomfortable usually are the things that God is tugging on your heart to do. Usually. I don't want to live in excuses. I don't. We shouldn't. And we live in a culture and a society that's full of them. From the top of our nation down, excuses run rampant in our society. It's become a part of the fabric of our culture. Excuses, making excuses. Well, this went wrong. Well, this is why. It's not really as bad as it seems. There's a reason. You know what I'm saying? So here's the bottom line. The bottom line is this. We can make excuses as long as the day is. But there's a day coming when we will give an account. Standing before the cloud of witnesses. Well, let me tell you something before that. Judgment day. When we stand before Jesus Christ. When He is there, clothed in white, looking like flaming fire eyes, and He looks... I don't want to be standing there with a bag of excuses. No way. But that day is coming. I want to be standing there with, well, we did this, I did that, we did this, I answered that, we did this. Yes, I did what you told me to do. I did this, I did that. No, not because I did what you told me to do, but because I love you, Jesus. That's why I did it. Do you know it's really clear? It's really clear when somebody wants to do something. We think that we can come and give people excuses on why we're not going to show up or why we're not going to do something. Friends, family, beyond that, whatever, when somebody asks us something. And when we really don't want to do it, let me tell you something that I've learned through doing outreach. I can still count on one hand how many times in over a year and a half of going door to door that we've been turned down for prayer. And some of those said no at first and then said yes. Or maybe a few weeks later, they said yes. So one thing I've learned in doing outreach is that there's a gazillion excuses that people will give when it comes to that moment where they're confronted with Jesus, when they're confronted with the reality of, you know, receiving prayer or whatever, or making a commitment to God, whatever it may be. But there's really no end to excuses. But one thing I've learned is that when people want to do something, they're going to do it. I have seen it over and over again. People, when they want something, they're going to get it. They're going to find a way. They may not have, you may not have two pennies to rub together, but if you want a motorcycle, you're going to get it. I can tell you where it's at. Now, house might be, this roof may be falling in and there's no air conditioning, but there's a BMW in the driveway. What do you think that person wants? A nice car and status. If you want something, as a person, as a human being, we want something, we're going to get it. We're going to do what we want to do. So when it comes to Jesus, there's really no excuses. And there's a day that is coming when we will stand before Him. And I don't want to be standing there holding a handful of excuses or driving a bus up full of excuses. Certainly. I want to be able to hold my head up and Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I want to be able to say, when I'm sitting with the cloud of witnesses as a believer, I want to be able to say, "Well, you know, let me tell you this story. Hey, we went to this door and we knocked on it and this happened. I served in the church 20 years. I got all these stories. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you that." And then Moses comes back and says, "Well, let me tell you about the parting of the Red Sea." Do you know what I'm saying? We have to be that way. You know, we have to make a change. We have to choose to change inside of us our want to. And if our want to is broken and it's off, or if it's pointed towards self and self, that's really, if you want to boil it down, if we make excuses in the things of God and the things of Jesus and what we're called to do, what we should do, and we know it and we feel the tug in our heart from God to do these things, if we're supposed to do those things and we really don't want to and we make excuses, it really just boils down to selfishness. We're going to do what is priority. All of us. No matter who we are, whatever our priority is, whatever's the most important thing, that will be done. If work is number one, then that is going to be what is never missed. That is going to be what is all we're always there for. We're always giving 150% to it. But see, the thing is that our priorities get out of whack. And we make excuses. In the kingdom of heaven, what we invest in eternity, what we invest in where we're called to be in the kingdom, whatever body of believers, whether it's a home group, a church, some other church in town, whatever it is, where we're called to be, we make an investment in that place. We put our hand to the plow there. We accept the invitation to the supper that is given. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who gave a supper and invited many. You know, after a while, I think what he's illustrating here is after a while, when enough excuses have been made and it's obvious that we're not going to change our heart, there, God just moves on and gets somebody else to fill the void. He does. Wouldn't you? After a while, you've got to make a decision to go, "Oh, well, okay, this isn't going to work. And so, let's move on." But, in that, you do that with a heart of grace and love. You do that in a way that is, you have to do it. I mean, you know, God does that. He's not going to... He gives us so much opportunity. He gives us so many chances. And in His body, in the church, not just in the church, in the kingdom of heaven as a whole, I'm talking nationwide, I'm talking the worldwide, the kingdom of God is always here, always at hand. We can be called to His kingdom, and I'm not just talking about church, But everything that encompasses church, everything that goes into His kingdom, it's about kingdom. If we're called to do something and we're supposed to be committed to that and we know that, then we've got to pull up our bootstraps and commit and follow through. Is it easy? No. Is it fun? No. Most of the time it's the day-to-day stuff that where we're most tempted to make excuses. Let me tell you something else. Here's what the enemy does. Remember the Garden of Eden? Remember, you know, the snake, the serpent came to Adam and Eve when he was talking to Eve, and he said, you know, hey, eat from this fruit. Don't it look pretty and good and all that stuff he was saying. And Eve said, no, he said that we should never touch it or eat it. And then the serpent, oh, he didn't say anything about touching it. He said, you know, this. And then you know, the serpent goes, well, he just doesn't want you to be like him. Hey, what was he doing? Go back and read that. He was suggesting excuses. You realize what the enemy does? They were God's children from formation by His own hand. And He, in His attempt to get them to fall into sin and to turn their back on God, His strategy was to suggest excuses. Has that changed? No. He's only gotten better at it. So I'm going to tell you this. All of those thoughts that flow through our heads, reasons not to do something, reasons not to fulfill something, reasons not to plug in, reasons not to be faithful, reasons not to do this, reasons not to pray, reasons not to read. What do you think? Where do you think that stuff comes from? It's not from Jesus. It doesn't just happen. Satan is the king of excuses. And you know what? With us as believers, most of the time, and even unbelievers, even if we haven't accepted Jesus into our heart, He'll do the same thing. He'll come and give an excuse. Well, you don't need to do that today. You don't need to give your heart. You don't need to make a commitment to Him today. Wait till next week after you've had your last party. Wait till, you know, a month from now. And then you do a few more things. He suggests excuses. And He doesn't just do it with unbelievers. He does it with believers, even more so. Because if He can weaken the kingdom, He can't weaken the kingdom because the kingdom is the kingdom. It can't be touched. But God's loved ones and His called ones, us as the church, as a body of believers who are supposed to fulfill calling and fulfill vision and fulfill things that will change the earth like the disciples did. We're supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be doing what Jesus did and greater. The enemy's strategy is the same. He'll come along and He'll suggest excuses. And it's our choice to pick them up or not. It hasn't changed since the garden. That's the enemy's strategy. That's his plan. And he'll give you a million of them if you'll listen. I know he's given me plenty. I don't want to listen anymore. When God's voice speaks, when he tugs at my heart, when I know something is right and I should be doing it, I want to do it. I want to fulfill that. I don't want to be like those who didn't accept the invitation. Let me point out another thing to you. Let's sincerely think about this, that Judas didn't have an excuse? I mean, really. When we do things that are really wrong, what's the first thing we do? Make an excuse. We try to minimize it. Make it not sound as bad. The problem is, it's bad. And it's better to be honest and be real and deal with it and move on and turn our backs on it. earlier I said that about going to do outreach. You know, many people will not say to you no. This is almost 99.9% of the time. Like I said, there are very few people that will actually just say no. Just say, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want prayer. No, I don't want groceries. No, I don't, whatever. 99.9% of people give an excuse. It's natural to our human nature because we don't want to hurt or offend or whatever, and we want to minimize it but still do what we want to do. That's what an excuse is. We minimize not doing the right thing so that we feel better about doing the wrong thing. When God came and questioned Adam and Eve after they sewed the fig leaves together and they were hiding in the garden, and He was like, "Where are you? Why, you know, why are you hiding?" And they come out. What first thing they do is the blame game. Well, Adam says, "This is the woman," and then the woman says, "Well, it was the serpent." Excuses. Adam was guilty. Eve was guilty. The serpent was guilty. Everybody was guilty, but everybody had an excuse. When we stand before Jesus one day, we're either going to have fulfilled and made a choice at somewhere along some point in our lives to fulfill and to accept and to answer the call and to stop being a people of excuses, or we're going to stand before Him on that day. And you know, here's the warning. It's the Scripture. Don't continue life making excuses. At some point, we have to decide to pull up our bootstraps and say, "That's enough. I'm serving Jesus. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to grow as a disciple. I'm going to commit to a local body, a local church, whether it's this one or another one, whatever. I'm going to plug in and I'm going to be there." You're not going to go anywhere in any church and not have problems. That's reality. Every church in the world has issues. Why? Because it's got people. We all got issues. The bottom line is making a commitment and not making excuses. Overcoming the issues. Working them out. I read something this week on Facebook. It was a picture of an old man and an old woman, and it said in the caption, it said the older woman was asked, you know, "How did you last 64 years of marriage?" And her response was awesome. She said, "We grew up in a day and time when you didn't just throw something away because it was broken. You fixed it." Commitment to Jesus. If you got a problem, you fix it. Commitment to other believers who are our brothers and sisters. You got a problem, you fix it. Is confrontation fun? No. It's not. It stinks. Try being a pastor. It's not easy. It's necessary. It's making a decision to set a course, not to make excuses, and to fulfill our God-given purpose, our calling, wherever that may be. And you know, in our culture, everybody wants to be at the top, the limelight, and this and that. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I would rather be holding the door, smiling, and greeting people. I mean, seriously. Any day of the week. But that's not what God chose. So for you, I'm going to tell you this. The thing that you're called to do is usually the most uncomfortable thing at first, at least. Once you get through it, then it gets easier, yes. But usually, that's the case. And so if God's speaking to you, has been, even for years, whatever, and He's called you to, well, plug in to do this or to do that, well, start taking steps, making arrangements, going to classes, showing up for things, reading in the Word. I mean, my goodness, we have the internet now. You can Google it and you can learn all about, you can learn about rocket science if you want to. There's no excuses left. We have the Word of God. We have His physical presence. The kingdom of heaven is here. We can call on Him at any time. We can spend time with Him at any time. We can learn how to do anything. But the thing is to find that place that God has specifically called us to do. And sometimes, let me tell you a little secret. Sometimes you got to try everything before you figure out what you really want to do. What you're really called to do. When what you really want to do and what you're really called to do converge, that's when you stepped into destiny. When you want to do what you're doing, what you're called by God to do, that's when you're in it. And the only way to get there is to stop making excuses and start doing stuff. Start plugging in. Start doing things. Do whatever's set before you. Do whatever God opens up. That's good. That's right. That's kingdom. Whether it's helping another church in their outreach, whether it's going to church in a park, whether it's, you know, finding a place, you know, in here to serve, whether it's cleaning the church, it don't matter. Just commit somewhere. I want to leave you with this thought. I'm going to close with this. I saw this. I thought this was good. He's talking about making excuses. There's a few examples. Not all are great. So I'm gonna say that up front. Like, it's whatever beliefs. That's not my point. My point is this: that we either are people that make excuses and we never get anywhere, or we're not. And it's simply our choice to ask Jesus for help and to stop making excuses. But just to illustrate the point is this. Albert Einstein, he wasn't able to speak until he was almost 4 years old. And his teacher said he would never amount to much. He had a pretty good excuse. Did it stop him? No. Walt Disney, fired from a newspaper for lacking imagination and having no original ideas. Is that funny or what? The Beatles, rejected by Decca Recording Studios, who said, "We don't like their sound. They have no future in show business." Steve Jobs, creator of Apple. At 30 years old, he was left devastated and depressed after being unceremoniously removed from the company he started. One of the greatest CEOs of our generation. Pretty good excuse. Michael Jordan, after being cut from his high school basketball team, he went home, locked himself in his room, and cried. Greatest basketball player that ever lived in our day. Did it stop him? No. The only thing that stops us is excuses. So for the kingdom of God, for what we're called to do in His kingdom and be, if we just stop making excuses and pull up our bootstraps and do, there's no limits. There's no end. There's nothing to stop us. There's a day and time coming. There is an eternity. And excuses will not hold water. And I, for one, and I know you guys don't either, I'm not one that wants to be standing there on that day with a bag of excuses. I want to be standing there saying, "Hey, I gave it all I had. I might have made a bunch of mistakes. But I was trying. And I think that's what God's looking for. You know, most of it is just showing up. Jesus isn't looking for the most qualified. He's looking for the one that shows up. And so if you guys would stand up, I want to pray. Father God, I thank you this morning, God, for encouragement this morning. And God, I just ask that right now you would speak to each and every one of us and just show us those places where we're already aware of it, most of us are, where we've made excuses, God. And in the days ahead from this day forward, God, just show us those things and then help us, God, to make the decision to step out of excuses and to begin to make commitments and to begin to fulfill the things and to begin to answer your voice and to do what you've called us to do. God, to fulfill that place, to find that place and plug in and do it with all of our heart. No matter what, do it with all of our heart. Step into it, show up for the supper, and go for it. And stay till the end and not leave. Whatever that is for us, whatever that illustrates for us in our lives. God, it may not even be necessarily church related, but we're called to a dream, to a vision, to create something, to become something, to work somewhere, whatever. We need believers in all aspects of our culture, in all aspects of our world. But we need believers that are committed first to you and have their priorities in order in that area. And so, Father, I pray, God, that you teach each and every one of us, myself included, how to put and keep those priorities in order and how not to make excuses in things that pertain to you and pertain to what you've called us to do and be. And this morning, if you're here, God, I just want to give this real quick. If you're here this morning and you've never given your heart or life to Jesus, this altar is opening and I will be up here. You just come up here and let me know. Do not make an excuse if God is tugging at your heart to accept Him as Savior. If God is asking and tugging at your heart to make a commitment to Him, do not walk out of this building and make an excuse. But give Him the opportunity. Show up for the banquet that He's prepared for you this morning. And accept Him. Open your heart to Him. And so if that's you, then I'm going to release. But if that's you, you come up here and you let me know. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, that if there is anyone here who's never had an experience with you, who's never asked you into their heart, God, I pray, Father, right now that you'd give the courage to step out, to step up, and to go after that. And that you would continue to tug on the hearts of people. God, and because your word says that no man comes unto you unless the Father draws him. And so, Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you for today. And I just pray right now over the food. Please do hang around. We do have a meal afterward. But right now, I just want to bless the food as nourishment and strength to our bodies. Bless the fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.